Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Hello, welcome to another Tech Talk. Yes, I am Stephen Scott. There's nothing you can do to stop me. Here I am once again with my friends, my comrades. I have Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet. As always, hello to you, sir.
Hi, guys. If there's a buzz, it's me. Don't write in. I'll feel sad and bad. It's me. Apologies.
It is really bad. And Andy Wynn's also here as well. Or Andrew, as we like to call him on his Sunday name. But we'll call him officially Andy today, I think.
Andrew, if I've been in trouble.
Yeah.
Yes. Hello to you both. Hello.
Yeah, normally it's Andy's mic that's got the problem.
Yeah.
This week it's yours, Robin.
We tried to track it down, but failed.
Well, so you failed.
Yes.
We just sat here and laughed at you. Seems appropriate. In fairness, last week it was my mic that had the buzz, so this week it's your turn.
The worrying thing is I can't even hear it, but I do know that my hearing's going.
Yeah.
Regular listeners. Yeah.
It's not good when you're the person that usually edits the show. That's kind of the worry. And maybe you need to take that on advisement. Hello, welcome to the show. Yeah, we're here for another week of Tech Talk. Lots and lots of discussion to have on the week's news. I think we should just get right into this because we get so many emails.
We get your email every day.
Here's your mail today. So let's get into it then, Andy, because like I say, we've got so many to get through. Coming up today as well, we're going to be hearing from Brendan Lewis. He's telling us all about In Your Pocket, a new handset that's actually coming from the company that brings you the smartphone that allows you to get talking books, podcasts, lots more besides. All that coming up. But yeah, let's get to the emails first.
So we're going to start off with one from Peter regarding WWDC.
Mm.
Hi all, thank you for an interesting look at WWDC. Along with your podcast, I listen to two others. And if I get everything from iOS 14, I will have the new hybrid iPhone Pixel 5 monster big one. And it will do everything, make my tea and play my lady. Play my lady. I'm glad that I left Android and joined Apple, to tell you the truth. Yes, take care. That's from Peter in Nottingham.
Well, seems like a fair comment to kick things off. Yeah, when you buy Apple, you get everything. You get the world on a stick.
The hybrid iPhone Pixel 5 monster big one.
I must admit, there's something quite catchy about that. I quite like that. Can Apple do that?
Yeah.
That would be good.
A lot of people are unhappy that Apple have gone for like Pro, Max. You know, they're really kind of, they used to have such elegant sort of names, but I think they would draw the line at that one.
What, you mean like XR?
Well, XR.
What did that even mean? R, yeah. What did the R stand for? Rip off.
Regular.
Yeah.
Regular.
Yeah.
So
anyway,
Peter will obviously be happy to know that in iOS 14, he's getting the back tap feature in iOS 14.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he can use that with a case, apparently. So, what else was there in iOS 14?
I have an issue with back tap.
Of course you do. Go for it.
So I've got the beta, so hopefully it's going to get ironed out or kind of adjusted slightly.
Yes, yeah. You've got to start off, you've got to preface this properly because, look, you know, everybody gets in touch with me and says, oh, I heard this feature's not working, I heard this is terrible. And the truth is, we're in beta cycle. Things will be good, things will be, you know, evolving, I think is maybe the word we should use, as they go through. So, sorry, what were you saying, Robin?
Well, I mean, that's why betas are betas. You know, that's why they go out to the public, because, you know, public will actually put their phones down on a desk, for example. So I an important Teams call on my phone. So I started the Teams call. I then put my phone down on the desk and I didn't lock it because I wanted to keep the mute/unmute, you know, microphone button in focus in case I needed to say something.
Yeah.
Popped it down on the desk. It performed a back tap, triple tap, because I have, you know, I've got the iPhone 8, by the way, guys, and back tap is there on the 8 for anyone that's wants to know.
Fake news.
Might go away in the beta, who knows, in the public final one. But so yeah, I have two things set up for a one finger double tap on the back. It brings up Where's My Wife is the shortcut that I've called it. It brings up Find People and it shows where Judith is. And the triple tap is Start Playing Radio 4. So I started this important meeting. I put my phone down and it started playing Radio 4 over the top of the the people talking in the meeting. I did a magic tap to try and stop the Radio 4, which had just started playing, and it hung up the Teams call instead, and Radio 4 carried on playing. So
I've got a question, Robin. You listen to Radio 4?
Oh, man. Look, don't even go there. If you make any aspersions about the...
You know you're on another radio station right now, right? This isn't Radio 4.
Yeah,
you know
Just to clarify Connect that. Radio.
Yeah.
All the way.
I don't get any other radio stations on my radio.
No, you've locked it in and ripped the knob off.
Absolutely. I don't need to. Yeah, because what else would I want?
That's right.
Exactly. So... Yeah, anyway, you were saying.
So that's a bit of a challenge. But yeah, iOS 14's looking good.
It sounds brilliant so far. I can't wait for Backtap. I don't know. I mean, I think it's one of these features. It obviously has, and it was built originally for people who use Switch Control. That was the idea behind it. If you struggle... Or you struggle to use your phone and interact in certain ways, or you use Switch to interact, this gives you another way of connecting. So that's good news, I guess. But it does seem to be very easily triggered. That's the problem, I think. A lot
like
of people
like putting your phone down.
Yeah,
well, and why that would you'd think simulate that wouldn't... a triple tap? I don't know.
Yeah, that's strange. But then maybe that will be ironed out in the beta. Will the iPhone 8 even get it in the end? We know that there was a lot of questions, and we've got a question on this coming up a bit later, if we get to this email, about the iPhone SE 2020 edition. There was a lot of concern from people who said, we don't think we're going to get this, because when I got the beta, I got the developer edition, and it didn't have Backtap in it. And I thought, oh, here we go. It's not going to be in there. And there was a lot of question marks over whether or not any of the development betas would have Backtap, which of course would mean it's coming to those other phones. So it kind of brought up this argument of, well, why is the SE not getting Backtap? What is it about the SE that doesn't allow it to get this function? But now we know because, well, I've got it. I've got the SE 2020 with the developer edition of iOS 14 on it. And it's got Backtap now, so it is there. So that means it's there, whether or not it'll stay. I'm really intrigued to know that the iPhone 8's getting it. I didn't think that would happen, because I thought
They might yank it. You know, maybe the haptic engine or the accelerometer or whatever can't
Well, really I heard Apple's Sarah Herlinger talking about this on the Apple Viz podcast, and she was saying that it was from, the 10 or the 10S up?
Yeah, one of them was the 10 up, and one of them was the 10S, and I think that was voiceover recognition. So that does need a beefier... chip, but I haven't got voiceover recognition on my 8.
Because let's be honest, the iPhone SE is the new one, the SE 2020.
Has the same.
It's just it's the same as an 11 Pro in terms of processing. Brilliant. Just the screen's a bit different, but absolutely. So the good news is it is still the blind edition iPhone. It's still the iPhone BE, as far as I'm concerned. I was concerned for a while. I thought, oh, great, now I'm going to have to go back to this 11 Pro and learn all these gestures again. I went back to my 11 Pro the other day just to test some things on it. I really don't like it. I just don't like that style. I don't like the way that this... swiping carry on to get once you've done Face ID, you figured that out, then you have to open up the screen and all this nonsense by swiping up. Ugh, I hate it.
I wonder
horrible.
If the back tap could be assigned to that.
Yes, it probably could. That would actually be a really good function for it. I think you can do that. I think that was one of the suggestions. You could use it for that, or you could use it for control center notifications. You know, if you struggle to get that. You know, anybody who
there are 23 current options there, and the last one being shortcut, you know, run a shortcut, which basically opens it up almost infinitely as to what you can do with those.
I love the one, I tried it with Seeing AI, and you could use the function recognize short text. So you could do a back tap, a double tap on it, and it would immediately launch the app. And if there was text in front of you, the app would start reading it. I like that. You know, so they've opened
up. We should actually say that, that the shortcuts, so Seeing AI now supports shortcuts, and it will launch into the, the channel that you want, which I think is brilliant.
Yeah, that is really good. That is really good. Sorry, I was having some of my coffee there. Very nice. right, Andy, what else have we got?
Email from William. Hi, Stephen and Co. First of all, Stephen, how much is Apple paying you to get you to advertise for them? There you go. That's
not enough.
Loads. Secrets out.
I wish they were paying me money. I really do. I'd be worth an absolute fortune if that was the case. I should be getting kickbacks for this. I mean, the amount of products I've bought from them alone. Yeah. Where's their loyalty?
Apple and Amazon. Yeah.
I must admit, Amazon's more of a conduit for me.
an addiction.
Get me other things, yeah. Although in saying that, so I did buy another Amazon product this week, an Amazon Echo device. This is all your fault. I nearly said Sean Priest's fault. It's not his fault because he doesn't touch this.
It's always his fault.
Well, it's always his fault, yeah. No, this is Robin's fault. I bought the Echo Show 8. It was on a deal, so I decided to get one because I thought, well, why not? You know, how bad can it be? You know, it's always a positive way I look at things. And, yeah, I thought, how bad can it be? And it's actually really good. I like it. I think the screen size is good, especially if you're using VoiceView. The text size is pretty decent. I mean, I'd have to have my nose up against it to see it. But, you know, for someone who's got low vision, you might find that quite good. And the screen is very vivid. It's too bright for me. I'm like, whoa, what is that? Big yellow thing pointing at me. I have no idea what the image is on the screen. Don't think I want to know. But, yeah, so you know, I like it. And I know you're a fan, Robin.
Yeah, VoiceView, very functional now, you know, very sophisticated and very responsive as well. Yeah. You're not going to be buying something which feels slow and, you know, cheap.
I'll be honest, it's better. I think it's better than the Fire tablet. There, I said it.
Yeah, for a comparable price, really, as well.
Well, it was probably cheaper in some ways because I got it for $69. I mean, that was on a deal, mind you.
Yeah.
And then I got the... What was it? The Fire HD 8 was 109 when it came out, I think, 119. So
that's the usual price.
That's the usual price for the, yeah. I mean, and the thing is, you can use the tablet in show mode. You can do that. You can buy a separate docking station. So there you spend a bit more money, but you've got a tablet you can carry around the house and you've got an Echo device when you want it as well. So, you know. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted your email there.
We got about one line into that email and the fact that it's...
And the show's over. Thanks, guys. See you next week.
He asked how much Apple is paying you, Stephen. Somehow we ended up talking about... Anyway, he said, William continues, I remember having the Nokia E71, which I loved. And I might be able to go back to using something like the Blind Shell Classic, as I have a thing for retro, old-style tech.
I get that. Yeah.
He continues, Robin talking about the shortcomings of GPS made me wonder about what three words and whether that would work better. Any quick thoughts on that?
Well, William and I have had an email correspondence about this on the side as well.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, emails. That's right.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, sorry.
You're setting up shop somewhere else, are you?
Obviously, my email's out there on the internet big time.
Are you on Radio 4 with that show, are you?
I have been.
Yeah.
Several times.
Alright, look, your love affair with Radio 4 is just getting ridiculous.
Look, you're going to offend a lot of people if you besmirch Radio 4 in any way.
I'm besmirching you.
Oh, sorry, okay, that's fine. Yeah, so I mean, we were talking about how What Three Words, this is a global address system. And they were a winner of the Tech for Good Awards, the AbilityNet Awards recently. It's a brilliant system. It divides the world up into 3x3 meter squares. So sort of 10-foot square, and every kind of top left corner or whatever, one corner of every single square is those coordinates are plugged into a massive database and are given an address, which are three separate words. Three commonly used words in the English language that are easy to remember. They're three completely random words. So your house will have an address. You'd pick the one that was closest to your front door. And it's a brilliant system because particularly in third world or developing countries, they don't have postcodes. They don't even have street names sometimes. So this has got huge implications and, you know, potential benefits for getting things to people, whether it's aid or food or, you know, whatever it might be around the world. You know, knowing where people are and being able to get to them is really important. So he was saying, you know, would this be better than GPS for finding that last 5 yards? And the shortcomings isn't necessarily to do with the being able to find the door because of the, you know, the address system putting the location, the pin in the map that's associated with that particular branch of, you know, Costa Coffee or whatever, somewhere other than the front door, which it may do, may or may not do. It's more to do with the vagaries of GPS. And we've talked about that on the show before. It can be way off. You know, sometimes it can think you're driving down or walking down the parallel street, which is, you know, 100 yards away or something.
That's right.
We've all experienced that. So, you know, What Three Words definitely would help to be able to more precisely pinpoint, but you wouldn't get around this problem about, you know, GPS being semi-accurate to very, very inaccurate, depending on how many satellites you can see at any given time.
I've never heard of that service. That's very interesting, but it's a shame we can't get closer than we would like with this. But you know, we would have gotten there if we'd voted against Brexit. Weirdly, I mean, that's not a political statement; it's just a fact. Because we would have had the access to the Galileo satellite, which
absolutely
have made things a lot better. Maybe one day down the line. Moving on. William, any more comments from William?
Yes, when it comes to ARM-based Macs, one thing slightly concerns me, and that is what the performance is going to be like. ARM seem to work quite well on mobile, but for the desktop, maybe not. Even though we can do audio and video editing on an iPad, the tool seems, to me at least, really simplistic. I haven't done much research into this, but you're probably not going to do complex audio manipulation or visual effects work on an iPad. Would an ARM-based system be able to handle the workload? And for this reason, I am skeptical of an ARM-based desktop. My impression of why Windows on ARM failed was because it was still trying to be Windows. And I'm sure that had Microsoft rewritten the OS from the ground up and not wanting to make Windows with all the baggage that brings with it, it might have worked better. But that's an email from William.
Yeah, I agree with that, William. I think that Microsoft comes with a lot of baggage. And if they had just, yeah, as you say, rewritten it, you might get on better. And that's essentially what they've done here with, well, with iPadOS, but also macOS. Yeah, Big Sur. Yeah, they pretty much started from scratch. The complexities of audio editing, video editing, the capabilities of the system are certainly question marks. But then at the same time, Apple are advertising this as a pro product. They're not advertising it as a Chromebook or, you know, some kind of Windows Lite type product. I mean, it is absolutely going to be powerful enough to do all these things. Arguably, the iPad is more powerful than any computer at the moment. Is that right, Robin? I'm right in saying that any of the Macs, it's even more powerful than them. It's just that
apart from the Mac Pro, which has got these Intel Xeon chips, and it costs, you know, $25,000. I mean,
but it's the interface. Kind of that's the point, isn't it? It's the interface of the iPad versus the Mac. Which and this is William's point, I think, because this was my concern. Are we moving towards a world where iPad OS is going to be more like what Mac OS is like?
Totally,
and that's a bit
converging.
Worrying. Yeah,
absolutely.
But that's a bit more worrying than the issue around power.
Well, yes and no, because it's not going to be iOS in some shape or form. It's definitely going to be a different code base, but the UI is going to converge. We're already seeing that big time. And all the changes that they've been making, particularly to iPadOS in recent versions, are all, you know, we're seeing why they were doing that now. And Big Sur, the Mac version, is definitely looking like it makes affordances for big sausage fingers. So we're definitely going to see touchscreen Macs coming out when the ARM-based Macs come out.
I don't want this.
But don't worry, because they have been building in really good keyboard and mouse support into iPadOS and iOS, which means that the programs that you're going to be running that are native iPadOS apps, for example, will have the same level of support for keyboard and mouse. Might not be exactly the same user experience, because we know, particularly with VoiceOver, that the two OSs feel quite different. But even with iOS 14, you know, now you swipe right and it says toolbar and you're in a toolbar. And that's, you know, it's almost like it's preparing the way for the even the blind VoiceOver experience to feel similar-ish between the OSs. But just on the point of performance, so to put it in context, the fastest computer in the world today is a supercomputer in Japan that Fujitsu have built, and it's ARM all the way. Every processor in there is ARM. So these are not second-rate processors. In fact, Apple has been driven to this because of the lack of progress that Intel has been making. They have got into a massive rut over the last, well, decade, really, and haven't been able to push the envelope with regards to the, you know, the form factor. They're still on really power inefficient, hot processors that don't lend themselves to mobile. If William, when he was talking about, you know, relatively poor performance in mobile, he may have been talking about Apple Silicon, but he may also have been talking about Qualcomm, because they are night and day at the moment. Apple Silicon is just screaming fast. And you look at the developer platforms that they have sent out to developers after WWDC to develop, you know, to port their apps over to Mac, the new Mac OS, ARM-based Mac OS. That chip in there is really fast, but it's 2 years old. It's from the iPad of 2 years ago. So when they unveil towards the end of this year the first ARM-based Mac, it's going to have two gens higher of chipset. And it's just going to be so fast. It's going to make Intel laptops in the Windows space look really, really slow and really power inefficient. You know, the battery life is going to be night and day. So I think a lot of people are worried. And he's absolutely right. The thing about Windows is that it's not an operating system that is slimline enough, and they've been trying their best. And their response is obviously Windows 10X, which is going to be their answer to it. But they have this ongoing problem of legacy software, which Apple are really quite tough about. And everyone who wants to stay on Apple knows that they're going to have to redo their apps every 5-8 years or whatever as they port over.
You do understand, as even as a user, you understand that you're going to lose things as you move along with Apple
temporarily, because, although that Rosetta 2, that
but I mean, there's certain things that will happen with a Mac. You'll be told this app is not going to run until it's updated. It ain't running, and there's no way around it. And you just have to accept that. Upgrading to Catalina, I've seen this time and time again. Apps that I really like, and I've thought, oh, I can't use that because it's not letting me, or I'll have to wait for a new version, or you know, whatever. Whereas on the Windows side, you know, I'm still running my audio editor, which is what, I can't think how old that is, but maybe 10, 15 years old now. You know, and it's still running away merrily. And that's the great thing in some ways, but, you know, it also halts progress in other ways.
Exactly.
For them,
it's the double-edged sword to end all.
It's the double-edged sword. Right, okay, what else have we got from the emails, Andy?
I'm interested by this supercomputer in Japan, the one that Fujitsu's built. Do you think they'll let us store the TikTok emails on that?
I think we need to.
Can it handle the number of pages?
Yeah.
This is the question.
It breaks it.
It's probably doing all kinds of massive, you know, mathematical equations, but we just want it to store 16 pages of emails.
Might melt down into
poems from Billy Burrell and, comments from Julian and all of that, yeah. Right, what else have we got?
Yeah, Julian's still to come. Before that, we're going to get to an email from Harry asking, why aren't Braille displays and QWERTY keyboards treated equally by Apple?
Ooh.
As a fairly new user of Braille, I am puzzled that auto-correction and auto-correction does not work when using my Orbit Reader 20 or my Braille Pen Slim keyboard to type in any text field on iPhone or iPad Pro. I use 6.UEB on iOS 13.5.1. I have no such problems with using my Bluetooth QWERTY keyboard, nor when using the on-screen keyboard. But when using the Braille screen input, I get an alert if I make a mistake. Is there some technical reason why Braille displays cannot function as well as QWERTY keyboards? Thank you for your regular doses of wisdom. That's from Harry in York.
The short answer is translation, Harry. So what happens is when you type on a Braille keyboard, what you type isn't sent to the device until you finalize the word. So as soon as you hit space, the word will actually appear. So it's kind of sending each word as it goes, and it seems as if the phone can't work out from that, what's right, what's wrong. So it's not giving you the ability to correct. It might tell you the word is wrong, but it will not give you, unless you go in, I guess, and change it yourself, it won't give you the autocorrect option. So as you type the phone, and, you know, I'm not very technical in this one, Robin, but maybe you'll explain it better than me. Mm-hmm. But essentially, as you type, the AI is kind of working away in the background, assessing what you're typing. And then it's correcting it as it goes, and it's, you know, correcting grammar, it's correcting sentence structure as it goes. But it can't do that if it's just receiving a word at a time, because that's what's happening with a Braille display. It translates on the device and then sends it straight over to the iPhone. That's the problem, unfortunately. That's something that hasn't yet been resolved. But the difference with Braille screen input is you're putting each letter in at a time direct to the device, not via a third-party system that's doing the translating afterwards.
And there are going to be different drivers for each Braille display. And so maybe there could be a setting which sends the keystrokes one at a time. Depends what translation.
Well, no, it can't. It can't do that because of contractions. So
yeah, exactly.
But then it has to make that decision after the fact.
But then iOS can handle contractions because of on-screen Braille input.
Yeah, but that's going direct to the device, whereas you're sending it from a device to another, so it has to do
that.
Yeah,
but if it sent it as each single contraction and then let iOS work out the final word. But yeah, it's not a... I don't think it's in the gift of Apple to do that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you think that would be something that could be done. I mean, it doesn't seem impossible to do that. I mean, the problem is you're kind of sending... I think, I mean, especially in terms of contractions, different with grade one, because it doesn't do it with grade one either. You know, you type on grade one and you start typing and you hit the space bar, that's when the word appears on the phone. But the problem is, when it comes to contractions, you're sending building blocks. So when you type the letter S, you know, you might be meaning to type one thing, but the phone's picking it up wrong. So you wouldn't necessarily want the phone to be grabbing letter by letter, because it wouldn't necessarily understand what you're doing. If the translation was done directly on the phone, that might be the solution. But because it's been done on the device first and then sent, that might be the challenge. But yeah, it's an interesting one. I'll be keen to hear other people's thoughts on that. I'm a bit of a newbie on this one as well, but I did find that and I found it a bit frustrating myself, Harry. All right, look, we'll take a break from the emails, because I want to bring in Brendan Lewis. Brendan is from the company RealSam, and this company have created a product called In Your Pocket. Now, we've talked about it quite a lot here on Tech Talk. You've probably heard me discussing it before. We've had Nick Howden on from the company based in Australia a few times when RNIB had partnered up originally with In Your Pocket to bring the product here. And, you know, I thought what we'd do is we'd find out more about the product. Also, we're going to hear about a new handset that is coming out and all the details on how you can get it. I spoke to Brendan this week.
Hi, I'm Brendan Lewis. I'm the head of business development for RealSam, which produces the In Your Pocket product. I'm an Australian currently sitting in Washington, D.C., talking to people in the UK.
Wow. Yeah, that's... This isn't confusing at all. Do you have any idea what day and time it is, Brendan?
my life is full of... My life is actually chock full, especially because now we're all on video conferences. It's chock full of managing time zones and trying to figure out what suits you and what suits me, and it can be quite difficult on occasion.
Yeah, and you're apart from your family as well, is that right?
Near the start of this, my wife went back to Australia to get hip surgery because effectively we could get it done for close to free there, and she felt comfortable doing it. And she's had a couple of complications, but the big one, of course, is the fact that Australia doesn't want to let her to leave because of coronavirus. Mm. So I haven't actually seen my wife in the flesh for just going on 6 months.
Wow.
Which was a fairly unexpected kind of outcome of this year.
I mean, there's lots of jokes you could make about that, saying, hey, you must have a really happy marriage. But the reality is it's actually quite, you know, unnerving to be in that position, I guess.
Yeah, well, the other side of the coin is that I'm sole parenting a 17-year-old boy, which is also an unexpected kind of gift.
So we're talking about In Your Pocket, which is that a welcome distraction?
Always happy to talk about Pocket.
Yeah, for those who don't know, what is In Your Pocket?
So In Your Pocket, initially people look at it and they think of it as being a smartphone for blind people, but it's much more than that. It's a totally voice-operated device. Our software sitting on a Samsung handset. It's voice-operated. It's a phone. You can make phone calls with it just by saying, call Stephen. You can send messages. You can add contacts with just your voice. It's an entertainment device, so quite uniquely you can search for and instantly stream books from the RNIB library, from the Calibre Audio Library, from Torch Trust, from LibriVox, from Project Gutenberg. So you can say things like, find books about Harry Potter, and it'll present you a list. You choose what the title you like from the list and say play, and there you go. It's now streaming to you. You can listen to newspapers. You could say, read me The Guardian, and today's Guardian will start streaming to you instantly. And it's also finally a device that supports people to be more independent. So we have a video magnifier on board, so people don't need to buy and carry a separate one. It's a talking world clock, so you can say, what's the time? Or you could say, what's the time in Boston, Massachusetts? Or you can also get the weather. So what's the weather in Paris today? And it has a navigation tool on board, a as the crow flies navigation, so useful when you're in the park or just getting around your local area to get guidance. It has, as I said, a video magnifier on board, but also, interestingly enough, it has the Be My Eyes software on board. So when you say Be My Eyes, it'll connect your microphone, speaker and camera on the handset to one of, I believe there's now 160,000 volunteers in the UK who can answer the other end and tell you what your handset's seeing. So that may be something from saying, is this kidney beans, have these kidney beans be expired because I can't read the label? Or maybe something as mundane as, do these socks match?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing service and all an amazing device as well, which gives you access to so much. We've been talking about In Your Pocket here on R&IB Connect Radio and on Tech Talk as well for a number of years. And the reason that you're here today is to tell us about a new handset.
Well, we've just decided to go back to the a Samsung handset. We were using a Doro handset. We're using as our base the Samsung X-Cover 4S, which is quite exciting for us. It's a apart from being an upgrade in technology, so it runs around four times faster than the previous handset. Wi-Fi is quicker. Bluetooth works over much greater distances. The specification is that the previous Bluetooth version would work over a 30 metres line of sight, and the new one will work for up to 240 metres, which means that you can get around and do things and be further away from your speaker. It's got better radio band coverage, which means that basically you can use it when you're out and about in more places. The screen is marginally bigger, but it's much higher resolution. So you've got around double, when you're using things like the video magnifier, you've got about double the sharpness of the images and much more vivid characters, which makes, for those that need to use a video magnifier, makes things much easier to read. The battery lasts longer. It charges via a USB-C cable than the traditional USB micro, which means that when you're putting the cable in, there isn't a wrong way of getting it in, unless, of course, you're trying to stick it in sideways.
But but it is so much easier. It really is.
Yeah, the USB C does make life easier. But really the exciting thing for us, though, is also, and I think one of the big points, is it's also IP68 rated, which means that it's dustproof and a bit more robust, but it's also slightly waterproof, and this is in the warranty as well, so that if you drop the device into the sink and pull it out and dry it, it'll keep on working.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's I won't tell you how many times I've spilled bottles of water over my tech, and destroyed umpteen keyboards over the years. So yeah. To have that, capability is good.
Yeah, I have discovered that when you go kayaking and you stick a phone in a waterproof bag, it doesn't necessarily mean the bag is waterproof.
No, that's right.
It appears to be more of a brand name.
So this is out or is it coming out? Where are we with this?
We're now taking orders and we're expecting the first orders to be shipped in the next couple of days.
That's amazing. And is it the same as before where you would buy the phone and or can you get it on installments? How does it work, especially in the UK?
So we now actually have more than one option. So you can buy it, you can pay for it up front, or pay for it on a two-year plan. We have two versions of it. So for the normal user, we have a 3 gigabyte plan, which is, it comes with an O2 SIM card in it, which gives you unlimited phone calls and text in the UK and 3 gigabytes data a month. Or we also have for power users a 10 gigabyte plan as well. I can now purchase it on. So we have those two options and two ways of buying it. Price has only kicked up slightly. We were selling the previous Doro at £22 a month. The new Samsung X-Cover 4S handset is at $25.99 per month.
So you've got a range of options now, and that's interesting. You mentioned power users because, of course, some people, when we say power users here, we're talking about people who may be downloading more books or maybe using Be My Eyes more. All of this consumes data, doesn't it? And that's why you need that extra on occasion.
Well, if you're at home, you're on Wi-Fi, you're in the office, you're on Wi-Fi, you're not using any data. But when you're out and about, if you're getting navigation, or maybe you're commuting, and on your commute you're listening to some stuff, you're searching for new things, you're reading the morning news on the train into town, that's where having the SIM card in it brings it into its own.
So for people who want to know more about this, how can they buy this? How can they purchase it, and the various ways you've talked about?
There's two ways of buying it. You can either go to our website at inyourpocket.net. That's inyourpocket.net. You can buy online. If you want to have a talk to someone, you can call our office. We have a support office in Peterborough. So one of the nice things about buying this handset as compared to buying just a straight out Samsung or phone or an iPhone or something like that, is that it's pretty hard to get support. With us, you can call 0333 772 7708 and speak to one of our operators or one of our support team in Peterborough. For people that want to have a look, we also have actually on the website, there's a list of all the different, but there's a whole number of sight loss charities that have demonstration devices. So there's, apart from the RNIB stores, there's also a whole lot of local sight loss charities that are carrying in your pocket and can demonstrate them.
And as you say, that web address is inyourpocket.net, and we'll post all the contact details as well on the RNIB Twitter feed. Find us at RNIB Radio. Brendan Lewis, always good to catch up with you. I look forward to talking to you more about some of the exciting features within In Your Pocket in the coming months.
Well, I look forward to telling you about some of the new capabilities that we released to everyone.
Email, we get email, we get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
Yes, this is Tech Talk, and we're continuing with the email inbox, of which there are many, many, many. How many pages are there this week, Andy?
I can't remember how many there were.
How many stone tablets?
16 or something?
yeah, 16.
One supercomputer amount of emails. That's probably the succinct amount.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's get into more of those then. Robin Christofferson here, of course, from AbilityNet. Andy, when reading the emails. Carry on, Andy.
Yeah, this one directed kind of towards Robin. This is from Julian. Hello, chaps. I'm thinking of changing my name to Moaning Mini, as that seems to be my default role. I was just listening to your email special. We might need another one of them. I was alarmed to hear Robin appear to suggest that listeners should plaster Bluetooth beacons all over the place without permission. Surely I cannot be the only person to view this as a profoundly bad idea. I think that many in the sighted populace would see this on a par with bill posting or graffiti. Property owners in particular might justifiably protest at finding their doors and windows plastered with beacons, especially as they may very well not recognise them for what they are. A problem made worse, as those of us who would most benefit from them are also the ones least able to judge where to put them. What we think is excellent placement might be to a sighted person that might stand out like a sore thumb and be an eyesore. If we put on an electronic device like a Pelican Crossing, I can foresee someone querying whether it interferes with the functioning of the device. And that may very well be nonsense, but it is the perception that matters. Remember that we live in a world where some nutters seriously believe that 5G masts can give you COVID-19. Not so long ago, many people believed that if a passenger on an airliner turned on a mobile phone, the aircraft would fall out of the sky, or if the same phone was in the pocket when they fueled their car, the whole petrol station would explode like a mini atom bomb.
What do you mean it doesn't?
I think a 5G mask could give you COVID-19 if you lick it, maybe.
Only if it's caught the virus.
I wouldn't recommend it. Yeah.
Unless someone would have to cough on the mast.
Yeah.
And then someone would have to lick the mast.
Don't lick them, guys.
Yeah, that's very good advice this week from Robin. Don't lick 5G masts. There you go. I think Andy's just found the title of this week's episode.
Oh, yeah. I have to make a note of that. Anyway, continuing on. Surely it is better policy to confer with the property owner or local council to get permission and hopefully come up with a way of doing it to the benefit of the entire local VIP community rather than just the one. It may hurt our pride to admit it, but we are dependent on the goodwill of the sighted community of which we are embedded. We can no more go around doing what we please than anyone else can.
Why not?
Hear that, Stephen? You can't go around
quite right.
I don't like it. I want to go around and do what I want. Right, Robin Banksy Christofferson, going around making a mess.
Yep.
All in the name of goodness. What do you say to that?
No, he's absolutely right. I mean, the where a supermarket, for example, has utilised beacons or a department store, that's where you typically find them. It's not just for the visually impaired customers, it's for everyone. And there's usually an app associated with that store. When, if you have the app installed, as you go around the shop, things can pop up saying, you know, you've bought these recently, there's an offer on in that department over there, let me take you to it. It's about navigating around, it's about pushing offers, it's about tempting you in. So, you know, if you pass a beacon at the entrance of a shop, it can tell you, you know, why you should come in that day, what's on offer, all that sort of thing. So, yeah, he's absolutely right. A communal effort is always the best idea because that benefits everyone. Whether the app is then accessible for visually impaired customers, for example, is another question. Whether those beacons can be exposed to the apps that we use, you know, the special VI nav indoor navigation apps is another question as well. So some collaboration there would be needed, but that's absolutely the right approach because then they can do it thoroughly. The kind of times I've done it is, for example, in our local park, I popped one under a bench, and this bench was set back from the path. So even if you sort of trailed along one edge of the path, you wouldn't feel it because it was still grass all the way along. It was set back a couple of feet, you know, before you get to the paving slabs with the bench on. So just popping one under there and hoping that it wouldn't bother anyone, that it wouldn't, you know, get waterlogged or whatever, I would see as potentially a good use for it. It's not harming anyone. Don't plaster them all over the windows. It's going to break your bank account more than anything else. And let's see what Apple do in this space as well. We all know that the AirTags or whatever they're going to be called are coming along. And with the U1 chip inside them, we're going to have much better accuracy than these tiles and other things that we're using at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't really argue with that. I mean, it's at the end of the day, it is important that we've got to live in this world alone with everyone else. So I agree with you on that point for sure. But I think it's an interesting one. I'm intrigued to see how these beacons develop because I'll be honest, I've never experienced one of these things at any point where I live or around the cities I've been in. So, yeah, I don't know. They sound great, but people have to you know, use them.
And we've seen times when, you know, the NFB or ACB have beaconized the location, the venue where they were holding their conference or convention. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, we've had demos of people who pretty much get, you know, spoken guidance to the very button of the lift and stuff like that. So it can be really, really powerful.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Let's get another email then.
Email from Irene about playing music on Google Home devices. Hi, everyone. I am alerting those who use these devices that Google Play is now superseded by YouTube. So if you try to play music, you will have to sign up. YouTube Premium is what you will need, minus the adverts, and this will cost you a few pounds a month. So yeah, that comes from Irene.
Well, good to know. I don't go near it, but I keep getting these notifications up every time I go into YouTube now saying, you know, sign up or, you know, whatever it is. And I just always hit skip because I can't be bothered with that. Is that a problem for you, Andy? Because, you know, you're an Android guy.
Yeah, it pops up on the phone quite often. Not so much on the PC because I use an ad blocker. But I did have YouTube Premium. I think there was a free trial they were throwing out a couple of months ago, so I used it for a bit, but it's very expensive.
Yeah.
And not worth
this seems
price.
Like suicide to me for it the Google bit, Home yeah. family. You know, even if you're not a Prime member, you'll still get music from the Echo. 2 million songs in the unlimited one, the limited one, where you don't have Prime. Something like 40 million with unlimited, which is obviously probably a similar price a month. I don't know. Don't do music, sorry. But at least, you know, out of the box, you can ask your Echo for music and she will give it to you. It might not be exactly the version you want or whatever, but then for people who care about that sort of thing, they would probably happily pay a little bit each month. But to have a smart speaker that won't serve you up any music at all without having a subscription, that seems weird, don't you think?
Buy an Amazon Echo. Right, moving on. Yep. What else have we got?
Email from Qual. Hello, Stephen and Robin, and email voice Andy. I'm getting in touch following your chat about Outlook recently. Well, I had Outlook on the Mac, and when I first set it up months ago, not all of my folders were showing. Well, after setting iCloud for Windows up the way that I described in the radio feature, I decided to delete my account on the Mac Outlook and set it up again. Well, lo and behold, I get the same result as I did in Windows. So if you want to experiment using Outlook on the Mac using iCloud, and so you have used my method on Windows to set up Narrator and Jaws, do it. You will have the same result on your Mac, but you must use the app-specific password. Thanks for reading this, Andy, in your distinctive voice. That's Qual.
Okay, thank you for that, Qual. Qual did get in touch with an audio feature we haven't yet played, so we will get to that in the coming weeks here on Tech Talk, talking about Outlook, because there are some issues around it on a Mac and on Windows. So, yeah, we'll get to that. Okay, what else have we got?
Following on from Nadia's question regarding the sound from her Echo Dot. So this is Nadia emailing in. Hi guys, thanks for reading out my email. Thanks Robin for that tip about changing the bass. I'll give it a go. I just wanted to clarify my Easy Reader problem. My phone is a Samsung phone. I tried pressing the power button to turn the screen on again, but nothing audible happened. And normally the phone would announce something even if all it said was device unlocked. So either the screen isn't coming on or the speech isn't coming on. Not having any vision, I wouldn't know if the screen was on or off without a voice prompt. I contacted Dolphin and they said that it was a feature of the Samsung phone and it does it to save battery. So I had to enable turn off battery optimization with Easy Reader. I'm not convinced that this is a problem because I did that when I first installed the app before I even discovered this problem, and it hasn't happened with any other apps. And finally, regarding Big Finish, since writing to you, I've spoken to the developers of Big Finish, and they said speech support isn't fully accessible with Android. Nice to know the problem isn't my fault for a change, says Nadia.
Ah, yeah, okay. Right, let's get another couple of emails in then.
This one is from Richard in Aberdeen. Hello all, just wanted to thank you for the nudge which resulted in me trying a Bluetooth keyboard used in conjunction with my Synaptic phone. As well as enabling me to do or to deal with phone lines where I need to enter something after being connected, I also find the Bluetooth keyboard enables me to text or email much more quickly and comfortably. Thanks for an always great and informative show. That's from Richard.
Does make a difference, doesn't it, having that Bluetooth keyboard? I mean,
yeah.
It really does. Changes the way you use your phone. And I feel in some ways it speeds me up using my phone, especially for text entry. That's the key point. That's obviously why you want it. But even for navigation purpose, I think it is really good. I mean, coupling, say, like I was mentioning before, I think I mentioned this last week about the Mantis Q40 Braille display. You know, coupling something like that with an iPhone is just a joy because you've got keyboard input, you've got immediate text output, or Braille output, I should say, via the display. You can turn VoiceOver off if you want, so you don't have to have, bah, 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 you know, rattling away in your ear all the time.
Ava doesn't sound like that.
Oh, she does after a while. I had to get rid of her as well. I get so bored with voices every so often. And I've got so many... sorry, Robin. time's a ticking. But yeah, I'll tell you one that's really irking me at the moment. Irking me. I like that word today. Irking. Write that down. My Apple Watch voice has reverted back to Daniel. I mean, Daniel.
It's compact awful. Daniel, no less.
Ooh. Oh, it's horrible. And I've tried everything to get the voice back. My Siri voice, I've turned all the settings on. Doesn't do anything. Sticks with Daniel. I don't know what's going on.
I don't even have that choice. On my third gen.
Yeah, well, it's no point having the choice because it doesn't do anything.
I think we should also say, going back to the Bluetooth keyboard, for people that maybe...
Fine, just ignore me
then.
I'll just live with Daniel.
That's right. Sorry, Daniel. John Briggs. Sorry, John Briggs. He was the voice of Daniel.
Was he? Oh, okay, yeah. Right.
Why isn't it called John then? Why is it Daniel?
Yeah.
If it's John Briggs, why is it not John?
Well, I think it was just... Sorry, complete aside here. But there are actually different voices, the same voices, but on different platforms. I found this on Android a couple of times. I found it on the Chromebook where it was the same voice, but by a different name.
Yeah, well, I think we need, if you can call John Daniel, then. Sorry, Andy.
I think we need Stephen to do a voice. I think that should be an option
definitely
for everyone. Yeah.
I don't think anybody
wants
that.
What are you pushing that for? You don't want to... delete that. Get
right, I'm fed up now.
Do you want an angry Scottish person to bark at you while you use your phone? If so, I'm available. Sorry, you were saying, yes.
Well, just in case people who have opted for, you know, something like a Blind Shell Classic or some other one with a keyboard or sticking with their Nokia and Talks, thinking, well, you know, huh, see, these smart, you know, iPhone users or whatever are now saying, well, it's better with a keyboard, you know, lug a Bluetooth keyboard around. Well, it's fine with just the screen, and you know, on-screen keyboard input is fine. I particularly I use dictation 95% of the time.
Yes, yeah, so
and
fine.
It's a real eye-opener how I very rarely have to edit anything in a message or an email that I have dictated. Yeah, and I do review it because I'm sending these to clients and stuff. So
well,
yeah,
that's the thing though, isn't it? Because if you're sending business stuff, I mean, it's one thing, you know, the three of us emailing or texting each other. We, you know, you can. Andy probably gets texts from me and thinks I have no idea what this is about, but he's got a gist of it. You know, I always say, don't read it with your eyes. Read it out loud, and then you'll get the sense of where I was going.
You do a good thing though, Stephen. You say, well, this is a message for Robin, and I'll just go right to delete that then.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Well, we use WhatsApp for that because you can use voice, which again is another great thing.
Brilliant.
about the iPhone with the generally with iPhone you can do that, and you can do that now with I think you can do some of that with the Blind Shell Classic, not with WhatsApp, but you can send voice messages and stuff as well. So it is, yeah. Anyway, let's get another couple of emails before we go.
Yeah, the next couple of emails are on a subject that we covered a couple of weeks back: games. So the first one from Roger. Hi all. If you're looking for accessible games on the computer, try Spoonbill Games. They have a range of card-based games plus word games which are all self-voiced. All are easy to download and install. All the best from Roger. And the next email from Wayne. Hi Stephen and Robin. I tried Four Down, the supposedly accessible crossword puzzle, but had little success. The version available is some 5 years old, and I experienced some very odd behaviour with it when using VoiceOver. It didn't consistently announce letters, input, and jumped around erratically. Thanks. That's from Wayne in Brisbane, Australia.
Okay, I've got two bits of feedback.
Go on then.
Roger. So yes, Roger's brilliant suggestion. spoonbillsoftware.com.au is where you can find those. A good selection, and they're all free, as he mentioned there. Spoonbill software.
Spoon as in not knife or fork, and bill as in hickok. Yeah?
Spoonbill as in the bird, I think. Yeah.
Right.
Spoonbill software. Yeah. As in Bill Hickok. Was he a baddie? I can't remember.
Bill Hickok, Calamity Jane. Come
Wild.
On.
Yeah, sorry.
Wild Bill. Yeah.
Spoonbill Hickok, I nearly said. Software.com.au. And. I can't remember what the other one was now.
Completely accessible
down.
Crossword puzzle.
Oh yeah, Four Down. Sorry, revisited it, and it's fine. It's absolutely fine. It really is. Sometimes when you put in the letters,
who sent that email in? Who emailed in with that, Quiddy?
Wayne in Australia.
Robin says you're a liar.
No, I'm just saying that it's a slightly different experience. So it's iPad only, and maybe it depends on the version of iPadOS that you're using. I don't know. But I revisited this. I completed a crossword. I remembered why I absolutely love this app. Other people, please don't be put off. I mean, yes, it does occasionally lose its focus, and it's usually when you've finished a word that it pops you onto the next one, if you know what I mean. So you don't even have to interact with the board at all. You can just go down the clues and it will read out, you know, blank R, blank, blank, S, blank or something. It reads everything out. It tells you how many letters there are associated with the clue. It's so good. It even tells you which words the letters that are in there already have come from, so that you can think to yourself, ah, okay, that R came from Robin, but I wasn't actually sure about that clue, so I'm going to, you know, have a little bit of a question mark over that in my mind. The voiceover support is fantastic. If you go into the settings section, there's a section for accessibility and voiceover specifically about reading row and column headings in there. In the actual kind of crossword.
Well, that might be leading towards Wayne's problem, perhaps. Maybe.
Have a look in the settings. Yeah, maybe.
Just shaking his head back and forth, saying, no, this is all
rubbish. Tried that, doesn't work.
All rubbish.
Robin's talking rubbish.
But no, I did revisit it because, you know, I have made lots of mistakes in the past and I didn't want to, you know, maybe it hadn't been updated or maybe it had and it's broken. But to me, it was fine.
Well, let's hear what Wayne's got to say when he gets back in touch with us. Yep. He may come back and say, actually, do you know what? I turned that feature on. It fixed it. That would be great.
Wayne on line one.
Yeah, let's get Wayne on. Let's put them together and have a fight over it. It does sound good, though, because that's the thing. These games can be good fun, and if they are accessible or, you know, they should be accessible because they've been accessible in the past, then hopefully that's... Because that's one of the challenges, isn't it? Going to a developer and saying, can you make this accessible is a challenge. I've having that argument at the moment with a company. I'm trying to explain to them what accessibility is. First off, that's the first challenge. And, you know, but if they've done it already, you know, as long as it wasn't by accident... then, you know, it's easier to have that conversation. So, but yeah, I mean, it does. I think what I get from this, and this whole show has kind of been kind of coming back to this single point, is the barriers that we get in front of us. Everything's a barrier, isn't it? Everything's just an extra layer of challenge. Because you think to yourself, well, you could do this. You know, Andy said this to me umpteen times. Oh, you could click on that. And it's like, oh, yeah, but then this happens. And you go, oh, right. And it actually gets frustrating from my point of view. I'm sure for everyone's point of view, but certainly from mine. Because you think, I almost must sound like I just... It almost sounds like I've lost interest in what, you know, I'm trying to do. But it's not that I want to do it. I just can't because the tech isn't letting me, which is frustrating. But yeah, that seems to be a good place to leave it. We've got lots more emails to get through. I guess we were lucky to get through probably two pages of those emails.
But, oh, we got through three.
A whole three?
Flying through them just
13
now, yeah.
Pages, right. We should do a moratorium. No emails now for the next 3 weeks until we...
I've not checked...
Except Wayne.
Except Wayne,
I've not checked over the weekend, so we've probably got another 17,000 emails waiting for us.
Well, listen, I do love getting your emails. We all do, and it does make the show. So thank you so much for that. Keep in touch. Do share your thoughts on what we've been talking about here. If you want to get in touch with us, it's really simple. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Follow RNIB Connect Radio at RNIB Radio on Twitter as well. We'll be back here same time next week. We're also hoping to get Red Sail back on to talk about how he's got on with his computer buying and get some responses from you as well, dear listener. You've been getting in touch with some suggestions for him and for others. We'll get that in the next couple of weeks here on the show. But for now, that's it from me, Robin and Andy. Catch you next week, guys.
Thanks, cheers. Guys. Sorry about the buzz.